Last week we did Galatians chapter 1. I did verse 1 down to verse 5, and the Lord led me back here to verse 6 through 9 today. So going back to these verses, I'm going to preach those today. Matter of fact, I'll tell you, the devil really was working on me this morning to try to get me to change the message. Right? Saying, no, preach another message that's there and do something different. And I just gave it to the Lord and said, Lord, I know this is the message laid on my heart. Get the devil away from me. And he stopped pestering me about it. So the reality is, I guarantee you, it's because someone here or all of us here need to hear this this morning. And God has something special for you through this message. This is nothing new, but there's something that's here I'm sure God wants to speak to you about. But look here in Galatians chapter 1, starting at verse 6. Galatians chapter 1, starting at verse 6. The Bible says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Father, I thank you for this opportunity that you have given me to preach your word. And Lord, I know this is the message laid on my heart, and I pray that you'd help me to bring it forth, that every person be able to understand. Allow the Holy Spirit to give people a heart today to be able to take in your word. Lord, for those that are lost, I pray that today they would have a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear. And Lord, that they would see their lost condition, that they would repent and turn to you as the only Savior. And Lord, I pray that your blessing upon this service. Keep your heads around us. Keep us safe. Keep the evil demons and spirits away from us. And Lord, just do a work as only you can. In Jesus, your precious name we pray. Amen. If you remember last week in verse 1 through 5, Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that means God breathed, God told Paul what to write here as scriptures, reminded us as believers that we are delivered from this present evil world. And can I tell you, we live in an evil world. What a blessing it is to be saved. Amen. And then when after he talks about that, he's kind of reminding the believers what God has done for us. He like jumps right into this epistle, kind of the theme of this epistle. It kind of goes throughout the different chapters that's here, and he speaks about that false gospel. There's people that preach a false gospel, and can I tell you, it was in those days. Matter of fact, it started from the beginning of time when sin entered into the world. Can I tell you, there's always been a false gospel. God gave the true gospel, and he talked about there would be a substitute. When he talked to Adam and Eve, there would be a substitute that would pay for their sins. And what happened by the very next chapter in Genesis chapter 3, we see Cain come along, what? Give a false gospel of works. And God rejected it. Can I tell you, the devil has always been trying to corrupt, pervert the gospel of Christ. And we're going to talk about that today because there's only one true gospel. It's interesting when he says here at verse 6, so again, this is to local churches. These are actual churches. These were good churches, right? Bible-believing churches. They were growing in the Lord. But look what he says here to these churches at verse 6. I marvel. That word marvel means to wonder, be amazed, to be astonished. Be astonished. Well, what was Paul through, again, it was the Holy Spirit telling Paul what to write. What was he astonished about that of what he heard or what was going on to these churches? He says that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. There were those in this local church, a good sound church, that had those that came in as false teachers and false prophets, whatever, that came in to start telling them about adding to grace. Talking about works and bringing in like a works-based salvation. They knew that they were saved through grace. accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But there were those that came in that start to influence them. That little leaven that came in, that the Bible says that little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, and start to get in their minds. And then they start to lean and say, well, maybe it is salvation by faith and works. And that's what he was marveling. He was just astonished. He was like, I can't believe that you have moved, right? He wasn't saying all of them, but there were those that start to lean that way. And what we could see here, God, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when there was error, he dealt with it. Amen? Don't try to hide. When there's error, deal with it. Amen? Because if you allow error to continue to go, can I tell you, it will just snowball and get bigger and bigger and bigger. One of the best things to do is to deal with error, right? When there's something that's a false teaching, deal with it. Stop it, amen? Because if you know not, what happens, it could grow. But he talks about this. He says at the end of verse 6, the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So let's start with the basics. What is the gospel? Well, let's look what the Bible says. If you look over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So what is the gospel? We know gospel means good news or hope. But what is the gospel? Let's look what the Bible says that the gospel is. What is the gospel? Look over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, well, look here at verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 1, what is the gospel? The Bible says in verse 15, in chapter 15, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I have preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. So here it is. He's going to explain the gospel to us. What is this gospel? By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Right? What he's saying is, I can't say 100% for sure you're all saved, but if you truly believe the gospel, then the reality is you are born again. He was saying, but if you didn't believe the gospel, or you have a profession without a possession, which means you made a profession of faith, but you really didn't believe, you really didn't trust, you really didn't accept the Lord, you just went through the motions of doing that. And he's saying that is vain, right? But here it is, he's telling us the gospel. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I have received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. You think about the gospel talks about the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it's straight from Scripture. Verse 3, verse 4, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. See, the gospel, you think about what the gospel is, the gospel tells us that Jesus died for our sins. Amen? He died for our sins. If there was another way for salvation, then why would Jesus die? That wouldn't make sense, right? I mean, if you could be a good person and work your way to heaven, why would God leave heaven, come down here to die on a cross, which has no effect if you're saved by works? That would be dumb. Amen? Then the reality is, we can see here, he died for our sins. You have to think about what sin is, right? Sin, you think about, is a disobeying God. It's against God. It's wicked. It's evil. But you think about, sin separates you from God. Because we are sinners by birth and sinners by choice, the reality is when you come of age accountability, when you die, your sin has separated you from God. When you die, there's a penalty of sin. And that penalty is to spend eternity in the lake of fire. God said that you would die a physical death, but also spiritual death. That's a separation from God. So when you die in your sins, if you don't accept Christ as your Savior, you'll be eternally separated from God. So the reality is, God is giving us a way that you don't have to be separated from Him. He died for your sins. He paid our sin debt. He paid a debt He didn't owe, and we owe a debt that we couldn't pay. And the reality is, that's what Jesus did. He died for us. The Bible says that it was prophesied that He would come and be our Savior. And he died, was buried, and rose again. That is the gospel, right? That Jesus died on the cross to pay your sin debt. And if you're willing to accept him as your substitute, believing he died for you, was buried, and rose again, and you receive him as your personal savior, yes, you admit that you're a sinner. Yes, the Bible talks about a repentance, which is admitting to God that what you've done was wrong. You see your sin for what it is, and you tell, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. But you accept him. The Bible says that you have eternal life. Why is that? Because he is now paid for your sins. That's the gospel message. It's good news. Folks, can I tell you, that's a wonderful news when you think about when you find out that you're a sinner and you find out the consequence of sin is a separation from God. That's not good news. But the good news is Jesus says, hey, I'll take your place if you're willing to receive me. That is the gospel message, amen? Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. It's an opportunity to be forgiven, an opportunity to have eternal life. But it's by grace. It's not of works. Works means I have to do something to earn it, right? When you work, let's say it's Friday is when you get paid for what the work that you have done, right? Whatever work that you have agreed to, they agreed to pay you, that's what you're going to get paid for. Your sin, what you deserve, the payday is when you die, will be spent eternity in hell. That's what you deserve. And Jesus said, I'm willing to take that. You know, it's grace. It's not works. If you want to work your way to heaven, well, the reality is you'll never get there. You'll go to hell. To pay for your sin means to be eternally separated from God. So the gospel message is by grace. You receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Look over to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, so we see he died for our sins according to the scripture. He paid the debt in full, was buried and rose again. Look here, Ephesians chapter 2. He's willing to give us eternal life, and we know we receive it by faith, right? In Ephesians chapter 2, I won't go through and read all the verses, but we see verse 1, it tells us that we were dead in our sins. He quickened us. God is the one that could save us. But look here at what the Bible says in verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not works. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. You can't keep salvation. It says, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Salvation is a gift. A gift. If it was your birthday and we were having a birthday party for you and everyone came together, we had that big old cake and then we all gathered around and here it is. We had gifts that we were giving and here it is. It's John's birthday and I had a gift I was going to get. I got this big old tire for John, right, put on his van. And I wrapped it up and I rolled it into John. I bring it there and say, John, happy birthday. Matter of fact, it was John's birthday a few weeks ago. So he thought he got past of the church knowing, ha-ha, happy birthday, belated John. But I did tell him that day. So you know how old he is? He'll tell you later. Anyway, so anyway, I roll that tire that's all wrapped up. I put a bow on it. I didn't. Ariana put the bow on it. So anyway, we take it to John, and John's getting ready to open. He opens up and says, whoa, look at that tire. And I say, pull it out my hand, say, John, now you owe me $100. Right? John be like, preacher, I thought that was a gift. That's not a gift. I'm buying it, right? Wouldn't you think the same if you were in a birthday party and someone told you that, hey, Chris, I'm going to get you this new tool, and by the way, you owe me $100. You'd be like, no thanks. Just how dumb did you think that would be? It's just as dumb for you to come to God and say, hey, I'll accept you by faith, and by the way, I'm going to work for it. It's a gift. He's offering you a gift of salvation for you to say, but I'm going to work for it. I'm going to earn it. I'm going to be baptized or do this or be good to earn my way to heaven. That's as dumb as you going to a birthday party, giving John a tire and asking him for $100, right? He paid for our sins. It's a free gift. Matter of fact, he even tells us very plainly in verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know what works does? Works brings glory to me. It does. Works brings glory to me. Look how good I am. I am holy. I live for God. Look at what I have done. That's what works does, right? Well, you think of the opposite. Grace says, no, I am a wicked old sinner. There's nothing I could do to save myself. But Jesus saved me by his grace, right? Faith, amen? So it's the opposite. You can't have them together. If you believe in a works-based salvation, then the reality is that means you do not believe in grace. You do not believe that it's by faith, amen? You can't have a mixture. And he's very clear, what? It's not a works lest any man should, but so that's the gospel message, right? So Jesus died for our sins, was buried and rose again. You have to receive him as your personal savior. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. You can't keep it. You're trusting in him alone for your salvation. Now go back here to Galatians chapter 1, in verse 6 through 9 again. So when he says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, I marvel that ye so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. What is he saying? There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. There's not multiple ways. Either he is God himself who came down and died on a cross for your sins and paid your sin debt, or he's not. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You're either going to heaven through Jesus Christ, or you're not. And what he was saying is there were people that came into this church, this local church, this good, sound church, and they start to say something, saying, hey, you got to add to your salvation. You got to keep the law. You got to do this. He says, they have preached to you another gospel. He says, which is not another. What does he mean by that? That won't save you. Because there's only one. Amen? There's only one gospel. And it's what the Bible teaches us. It's what I just told you. And what was he saying? There are people that came into this church, and what were they doing? They were troubling them. They were believers. They were troubled them, right? They perverted the gospel of Christ. They added to it. Can I tell you, just because someone has Christian in the name of their church, just because someone has Christian on their website, just because someone is on television, use the name the Christian or whatever it is, have a book, and they say that they are a Christian, does not mean they are a Christian. If someone says they're a Christian and they preach another gospel, they're not a Christian. Do you know the Mormons will tell you that they're a Christian? They're not Christians. You know the Jehovah's Witness will tell you that they are a Christian? They are not a Christian. Do you know the Catholics will tell you that they are a Christian? They are not Christians. You may say, preacher, that's judgmental. Yes, I am judging, but it's a righteous judgment, right? God said it. I am the way. Because if you think about those cults that are there, and you think about the Roman Catholic Church, they're trusting in works. They're all, you know, thinking about the Pope and thinking, you know, how great of a man he was. Can I tell you, the Pope, if he didn't accept Christ, which in his own testimony, he did not accept him. He's trusting his works. Could I tell you, when that Pope died, he's in hell today. You may say, preacher, that's me. I'm just telling you the truth because he's trusting in his works. Folks, works will not get you to heaven. And here it is, what is he saying? People came in to trouble you. John, there's another way. You got to trust in works. If you don't trust in works, you're not getting there. Chris, you got to be baptized to go to heaven. Doris, you got to join the church. Rachel, you got to start keeping on to the law. What is he saying? These people are troubling you. You know? These people aren't telling you the truth. Folks, can I tell you? It is all across this world today. You have those that claim to be Christians. And if you listen to their actual words of what they believe, they are preaching to you another gospel.
I think it was the... I use her as example because I remember I was doing a study on music one time. That lady, her name's Carrie Underwood, right? Now, she'll tell you she's a Christian, right? She's a Christian singer. But if you listen to, don't listen to her music, but if you listen to the one song that she has, this is a while ago, Something in the Water. Do you know Something in the Water tells you? You may say, preacher, you listen to music? No, 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 I don't. But actually, I found the lyrics of it and read it so that way when someone had asked me about the song, I would know of it, right? And I can't remember, which is a blessing. But I do remember this. She said something about a preacher man, and she said that she went down into the water, and she says there's something in the water. What is she referring to? Baptism. Because she was of Church of Christ, and they believe in baptism. That is another gospel message. If she's trusting in baptism to get her to heaven, can I tell you when she dies, she'll spend eternity in hell? I don't care if she calls herself a Christian or not. No, I don't know. Maybe she got saved. Maybe someone troubled her, perverted the message, and maybe she's starting to think or leaning that way, just like these people. But the reality is, if that's what she's trusting in, when she dies, she'll spend eternity in hell. That's what the lyrics say, right? You can go and listen to the lyrics. Don't listen to the words over there. I tried to find the song. And I remember I did this years ago, and I found it. And when I tried to watch the video of the song, I was like, my eyes were like, whoa, I stopped it. I said, I can't watch that. I mean, those ladies were like, nothing on. I was like, whoa, that's brutal. But anyway, the words itself says that. That's what she's trusting in. She's trusting in baptism. And if maybe you listen to the song, and if you think about it, if you listen to the words, you'll realize that's what she's talking of. There's something in the water, right? She said something about the blood, and she says something else, but she says there's something in the water. That, matter of fact, I think that's the name of the title that talks about that. So you may not have known that, but look at it, amen? That's what it talks about. But anyway, that's another gospel message. And what does the Bible say? That's not another. Amen? Don't get mad at me telling you the truth, amen? Get mad at her for what she did. But anyway, what do we see? You know what he did? He gave a warning. He gave a warning. You know, I can get up here and give you flowery messages. Mark, I could just preach milk. I could just say everyone is a good person and everyone will die and go to heaven. But I'd be another false teacher. Amen? Folks, can I tell you, what would you rather hear? You'd rather have someone that makes you feel good or someone tells you the truth. Now, if someone tells you the truth, you're going to feel good at times. And other times, I'm going to step on your feet. Don't get mad at me. You think about it, I'm just reading the scripture. What is he saying? He's warning them. And matter of fact, he gives a strong warning. What's he say? Let them be accursed. He says, let them be accursed. Be cursed of God, doomed to destruction. Now, think about that. Was Paul being mean? Hold on. It wasn't Paul's words. It was God told Paul what to write. God, the Holy Spirit, told Paul, write those words that they would be a curse. Why would God say that? Because if someone's influenced by these quote-unquote Christian churches that aren't truly Christian, right? The work-based salvation or teaching something other than grace or teaching that it's by works. He said it'd be better for them to be cursed, to have God's cursing upon them, that they be doomed, that they die, than for them to continue on leading people to hell. Why is it? Because it's so strong, right? And you think about the influence that they have. So anyway, what we see is he's giving a warning. Look what the Bible says. Look at 2 Corinthians, go to the left. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he's given a warning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, you know what sometimes is really hard to do? Get onto a church website and find out what they really believe. It's like they're scared to tell you what they believe, you know? And why is that? Well, some of them, please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying they're all bad, right? Don't misunderstand. Because they don't want you to know. Sometimes it's like they get you in the church and then they start teaching you and they get you in and then they start telling you, right? And it's like, whoa, you really believe that? You know, like the Mormons, they believe that, Chris, one day you can become a god. You know?
and you start asking them questions of that, they kind of skirt around that. They don't want to really talk about that, right? And that's craziness. I remember I was in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I was talking to, I can't remember, it was a Jehovah's Witness, the Mormon. I get them all confused. They're just all of cults. I was talking to these two ladies that came to my house, and I was preaching to them for about an hour, and a couple of them quoting scripture to them, and they were kind of scratching their head like, ooh. And I told them one, they were like, Bible really says that? I said, yeah. And they looked it up, and they were like, we'll have to go back and tell our elder about that. And I was thinking, he is going to say, stay away from this guy. He's misleading you. But anyway, I asked him, I said, if you died today, would you go to heaven? And you know what those two ladies told me? No. I said, why not? They said, because we're single and we're not married. We have to be married. I said, the God that you serve, saying that you are not good enough to go to his heaven? You're staying in that church? You know, I was just hoping, Bob. You know, I told you I was preaching to him for an hour, man. I was like, you got to be kidding me. I said, how are you ever going to get there, right? You know, well, I tell you, work-based salvation, you think about it. They won't tell you that when you get into the church. They'll tell you that later. Anyway, how did I get on that? God wants you to hear. Look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verse 13. For as such are false apostles, deceitful workers, deceitful. You know what that means? They're not going to tell you the truth. They're hiding from you the truth. Look at this. Transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They are pretending to be something they are not. We're Christian. They are wolves in sheep clothing, right? And it says, and no marvel, for Satan himself, look at this, is transformed into an angel of life. He's pretending to be something he is not. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So you think about these quote-unquote Christian churches that get up and they teach and they say that the way to get to heaven is you got to be baptized. They are not of God. They're of the devil. That's what he's saying. They're taking the gospel message and they're corrupting it. They're perverting it. And that's what he's saying. So the reality is, what was he doing? He was warning them and saying, hey, stop listening to them. Stop going to their places. Why? Because they're corrupting you. They're perverting you. And here it is. Satan himself, he's not saying that he's Satan. He's saying that he's an angel of lie, right? His ministers, what are they saying? We're the devil worshipers. No, we're Christians. That's what the Bible says, amen? So the reality is, you think about when Paul said that in Galatians, he was true believers that was influenced by false teachers, and he's like, I'm marveled, I'm surprised, it's baffling me. How can you listen to that? You know what that also tells you? That as a believer, you can be led astray. Because you keep on reading through the book of Galatians, it goes through five chapters dealing with this to explain the gospel that's there. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit and things that are... But if you think about that, you can be deceived, right? There's some things as a believer you'll never, ever be able to say, right? Never, ever to believe in your heart. But there's some things where people can be confused, right? To go that direction. Look at the Bible says over here to 2 Peter. In 2 Peter... In 2 Peter chapter 2. 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 So again, this is a warning. God's given us a warning. In 2 Peter chapter 2, if you look at verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people. Look at this. Even as there shall be false teachers among you. He was warning them. False teachers. What are they going to say? He's not referring to, quote unquote, like the Muslims. He's not referring to the Hindus. He's referring to those who claim to be Christians. Christian churches, right? So again, you think about it, we're a Christian church, right? But what he's saying is they may have Christian in name, but that doesn't mean they're Christian. What do they really believe? And that's what he's saying. False teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and will bring upon themselves swift destruction. And look at this, verse 2. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth is evil spoken of. Many. Chris, it's not just going to be a few people. Preacher preaches that message out there, but we look at these churches, how big they are and growing, and they preach a work-based salvation. They must be right. He says, many. Folks, can I tell you, you think about it, there's only been a few times in the history of mankind that the majority has ever been right about salvation. Let me explain. That would have been when Adam and Eve were in the garden, right? They realized it. But after what? The devil came in, and you think about it, it's been corrupt, right? And there's more people that are lost than are saved. And then probably during the time when the flood happened, when God wiped out everyone and Noah and his family, it may have been majority then, but it didn't take too long when the, his son, Canaan, was his grandson that came along, and you think about the false teachers that were there. Folks, can I tell you, don't follow the majority. Follow God, right? And here it is. He's given a warning. Many. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of Jude. There's only one chapter in Jude. Jude chapter 1. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm preaching, right? If someone truly believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? They believe they accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They are born again, right? They're saved. I'm not talking about those that believe in a correct gospel. I'm talking about those who add to it, right? Those that teach that you can lose your salvation, that they're perverting the gospel of Christ. Those that are saying you take the gospel and you have to be baptized to go to heaven, they are perverting the gospel of Christ. Those that say you whatever it is you have to do that's adding to it, they are a false teachers. And God says stay away from them, right? Look what the Bible says here in Jude chapter 1. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I give all diligence right unto you of the common salvation, it is needful. What is needful for me to write unto you? What is so important that God put on his heart to write this? And exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares. Crept in. You know what that means? They came within those churches and claimed to be Christians. Or they came to the churches and, again, in Christian churches. And what are they doing? Teaching things that is not true. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God, right? Salvation is by grace, faith alone, right? Into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. If they're preaching someone else, then the reality is they are wrong, right? So here it is. He's giving a warning. Look over here what the Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians. I'm winding down here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, you may say, well, preacher, they have a Bible study, or preacher, they have this, and they're teaching, and they're really, really good. If they start out wrong, why listen to them? Amen? Here it is, he's saying here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and verse 17. 2 Corinthians 2:17. For we, he speaks of himself, right? The other apostles are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God speak we in Christ. What is he saying? They are preaching the truth, right? Was Paul considered himself the majority of those preaching the truth in this verse? Is that what he says? No. What is the majority? He says many. What would that be? What are they preaching? A false gospel. Right? That's what he says. For we are not many which corrupt the word of God. They're corrupting the word of God, right? Preacher doesn't know what he's talking about. Don't listen to him. And I'll show you this verse that says that you have to be baptized to go to heaven. Or I'll show you a verse that says you got to work your way to heaven, or you got to keep salvation. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Can I tell you, remember when the devil tempted the Lord? Do you remember? Do you remember one of the things that he did to God? Do you remember what he used as a temptation? Anybody remember? What's that?
Hunger.
Hunger, right? But what did he use?
Scripture.
He says, why don't you cast yourself down? And he says that it's written. He used scripture. But Julianne used it out of contents. Can I tell you, I can use scripture out of contents and I could show you all kinds of stuff. I can use it out of contents and show you that you have to be baptized to go to heaven. But I'm telling you, it would be out of contents. That would be another gospel. I could take scripture and take it out of contents and show you it's a work-based salvation. But taking it out of contents. Do you understand? The devil did that. He's still doing that today. And he's using people that are around. And what is it? They're giving another gospel. Folks, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And the only way you're going to get there is if you see yourself as a wicked old sinner, there's nothing you could do to save yourself. And you look to Jesus Christ, you have that repentant heart, and you believe that he died for you, was buried and rose again, that he became your substitute, and you're willing to accept him as your personal savior. He'll save you. That's the gospel message. Anyone that adds to that message is corrupting the word of God, is perverting the word of God, and they're not of God. As we continue in the book of Galatians, if God allows, he'll say that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You're either saved by grace or you're not. You're either saved and he forgave you of all your sins or he didn't. And if there's people out there teaching you something different, can I tell you the best thing to do is stay away from them? Because if you don't, now you are being deceived. You are now thinking, nope, there's another gospel. And the reality is now it's going to cause problems. Do you know what will happen? If you're truly born again, you're going to heaven. But maybe your son, daughter, parents, grandkids, or whoever may not. Because they'll think, mom, dad, you know, uncle, whatever, you know, listens or does this, they must be right. And if you think that the devil's not going to do that, you're deceived. He's not going to sit back and be like, well, preacher's listening to this guy that believes in the work salvation. I'm not going to try to influence his daughter. You are dumb. Amen? The devil will take the smallest little thing you do and blow it up. Amen? Folks, he was warning them. That would be a warning to us. Amen? Believe the gospel. And anyone that teaches something otherwise, realize they are wrong and stay away. Father, thank you for this opportunity to preach. And Lord, I pray that you would use this message and it would help us in our walk with you, help us to live for you. And Lord, I don't think there's anyone in here that would believe that. Or I don't know, Lord, maybe there's someone that's being influenced by it. I don't know. I just know you led me to this message. And Lord, that's the message I preach. And I don't regret preaching it. And I pray, Lord, if maybe if there is someone here that's struggling with that, I pray that they would look at the scripture and, Lord, study it out. They'll come to the same conclusion. And, Lord, I pray that if there's one here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, they never truly believed in the gospel message of what you've done for them. I pray today would be the day they get saved. We ask in Jesus' precious name.